I want you to look in the 104th Psalm, one verse with me. And the good news is I'm preaching on one word out of one verse. So that way that should limit me a little bit anyway today. Psalm 104 and verse 12. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. One word I have underlined in that verse, and that is the word sing. Sing. Since I talked about the bees on Mother's Day, I'm going to talk about the birds on Father's Day. And I'll tell you how this all came about. Yeah, I got your attention now, don't I? Because you know I'm capable of anything. Yeah. Back in May, early morning one morning, an hour before dawn to an hour and a half before dawn, we tried our best for nearly a week to go to sleep just a few more minutes before getting up. And Candy and I, we couldn't get up because the bird songs were singing so loudly this year. I don't know why they seemed to be singing more than at other years, but I don't mean they were singing just a little bit. They were singing really, really loud. And there's something about a bird singing that you may not be like me. The church, if you attend here all the time, you know my love for birds. I have a love for birds. It's what I did this morning. I sat out back praying for the service and watched the birds come in, hummingbirds to the feeders and orioles coming in and saw finches coming in and just bluebirds. We got them out. They got another clutch of eggs about to hatch. And I'm telling you, it just looks like a zoo out in our backyard. But we like it that way. But the birds have a song. They have a song that they can sing. And if you, I know some of you today visiting, you may not know this, but Rubyville, we're a singing bunch of people. We really are. I mean, when we're coming into church, sometimes we're singing before church starts. I always encourage the musicians to play before service starts. I think it sets the tone for the service. And then we open up our service singing. We have singing from the choir and singing from the congregation, singing of specials. We'll close our service today by having a song. We'll have singing. And sometimes we have a lot of singing. If the altar service goes on, we just keep singing, don't we? We love singing. We love songs. And then many, many of us will leave this place singing. Get in our car, turn on our media, whatever you have. Some of you still maybe have cassette tapes in your car. That's okay. Others, you're going to hook up to your media and play it. But you're going to have music coming over your speakers on the way home. You'll sing on the way home. Some of you will sing while you're at home. You'll sing while you're preparing dinner. You'll sing down through the day. And we'll come right back singing again tonight. And there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know that there's over 120 verses where God encourages His children or commands His children to sing in the Bible? Think about this. Now, I'm not giving you all 120, but listen to what God says in His Word. Psalm 95:1, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 96:1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Psalm 96:2, "Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." Psalm 98:1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him victory." Psalm 98:4, many of you quote this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Psalm 98:5, "Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the voice of a psalm." Psalm 101:1, "I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, I will sing." Psalm 104:33, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Psalm 105:2, "Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye all of His wondrous works." Psalm 108:1, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory." Psalm 108:3, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises. I will sing thee among the nations. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." And the Bible says, "Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant." When Moses and the children of Israel got on the other side of the Red Sea. In Exodus 15:1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The first thing that the Bible tells us about concerning heaven is that there was singing in heaven when the sons of the morning sang as this world was being created. I take that to be the angelic host were singing while the earth was being created. And today, in the middle of the storms, we can still sing a song. Today, when we come on Father's Day, we can still sing a song. That's what they're doing in heaven. And one day, we'll sing a song that the angels cannot sing, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God gives us a song and says it's all right to sing. Now, songbirds, the Bible mentions in this text, that's what it's referring to. They're singing in the branches of a tree. And songbirds, they learn their songs through a special technique. They have a vocal box that's called a syrinx, S-Y-R-I-N-X. And the voice box allows it to do something that we can't do. The way their voice box is arranged, there at the trachea where the bronchi comes together, it allows them to force air through two separate cords or tissues at the same time. In other words, they can sing two notes at once. Pretty remarkable. Some have even been known to sing more than two, that they are able to get to the place where that they can cause other cords to vibrate. So they have an ability even greater than what we have. The birds perch high in the high elevations, the highest place they can get, because they want exposure to their song. And they do that for a couple of reasons. Number one is to attract attention to their song. That's what they were doing at 5 o'clock in the morning back in late April and early May around our place. They wanted attention. Sunshine is coming. The morning is coming. Spring is coming. And not only that, but they do it so their song can be broadcast farther out. The higher they get, the farther out their song can be heard. But yet, it's somewhat draining for a songbird to sing. It takes a lot of energy. They use a lot of their daily energy. You think they use more flying, but they use a lot of their energy singing instead of flying, going place to place, or even foraging for food. They use their energy to try to get the song out. They'd rather sing than eat. But singing is dangerous, because when bird songs sing, it also lets predators know where they're at. So the enemies of the birds know where they're at. But do you know what? The songbird has already evaluated everything and says the benefits from singing far outweigh the dangers of singing, so they go ahead and sing anyway. Why do they sing? Why would a songbird sing? Well, there's several reasons. I don't know that I have time to get through all of them, but I'll get through what I can this morning. Number one, they sing to attract a mate. Now, you know that this amazed me. When God spoke to my heart about this text and preaching this text on Father's Day, do you realize that many of the species of birds, songbirds, only the male sings? And in the species where the male and female both sing, where they both sing, the songbird, the male songbird leads. He sings first. Gentlemen, you set the trend in your home. You set the environment in your home. If your home is a place of praise and worship, it's because of the song that you lead your family in. If you lead your family in the right chords of life, God will bless that and be a leader in that. But the reason that they sing first and the reason God gives them the ability, it's very simple. It's because most of the songbirds are migratory birds. They go in warm weather during the winter. They come back in the spring. Now, the males come back 1 to 2 weeks before the females. And when they come back 1 to 2 weeks before the females, they mark out a good nesting territory. It's the best place, the safest place to build the nest. And not only that, it's the best place to find the food, to feed the young. All of their provisions are met. The male bird goes ahead of the female bird to find that. And once that it finds that, it starts singing because it knows the females are coming. The reason that those birds were singing so loud, it was the males that were singing because when the females come, they select their mate. By the way, the female chooses the mate. Everyone, stop right now. Look right here. I deal constantly with women that give me this. I'm just not happy with him. You picked him. You chose him. If you want to get happy with your mate, go back to the reason why you picked him to begin with. Now, if you picked him for the wrong reason, you can't undo that. But you chose him. Thank all three of you for the amen. But the stronger their sounds, the louder they sing, the more they feel like that they have taken the time to prepare themselves to be the provider that they need and the mate that they need. Now I said most breeds, the male's the only one that sings. But in the breeds where the females sing too, do you know when they sing? When male and females sing a duet together? Do you know what breed does that? They do it always during courtship. When they're courting. Boy, quiet now, isn't it? They'll sing a duet together. Well, why does the female sing after the male has led? Here's the reason why. They blend together because they feel it's two reasons. Number one, it builds a bond between them. If you want your home to stand, you cannot stand separate men from women. You've got to have a bond that's there. First of all, there needs to be the common bond of God's love and God's grace. There needs to be the common bond of God's Word in your home. But second of all, you need two. The two of you need to become one in flesh, one in spirit. The twain becomes one according to God. If that bond's not there, I don't care what you do, no matter how much you love your spouse. If they don't have that bond with you, you cannot make them stay with you. You cannot make them sing with you. You cannot bring melody into your home. It takes two coming together. Feeling a little lonely up here today. Well, why does the female start singing? What causes her to start singing? Number one, she has found the love of her life. And number two, they say that the female sings to advertise to all the other males, I'm unavailable. Don't even come calling. I'm already spoken for. I'm already taken. Don't come around. I've already fallen in love. Oh, glory. No wonder the song, the love of love songs in the Bible, the Song of Solomon. Solomon said in that time how much that he loved her like that dove. By the way, doves are those ones that come together with that bond and coo together because of that unity that is there. Do you know what Isaiah said? Isaiah 5:1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Do you know what he was saying to the church? You ought to sing. You ought to sing to the devil. Don't come calling. I've already found the love of my life. I've found everything I need in Jesus. And there's nothing that you have that I want. There's nothing in this world that appeals to me anymore. I've found everything that I need in the Lord. That's why that we sing. We've got a mate, a friend that's closer than any brother. We are the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, we're joining in the duet. The Lord has led the way and given the song of victory. And now we're His and He is ours. And the devil doesn't have to come calling because we're not available. No need to come. Another reason that they sing is to establish territorial boundaries. Some bird songs are sweet music. Others are not so enjoyable. But by the way, the only ones that are really annoyed by this are enemies of the songbird. For example, all songbirds don't sing the same type of song. Pheasants. Do you know pheasants? Ringneck pheasants. Crow like a chicken. They do. And then mourning doves, they coo. Sometimes it's almost, I've got mourning doves. Kenny and I have mourning doves that come in. They stay at our place just about constantly. And during this time, sometimes the cooing, it's almost so somber, it's eerie. But when it's that tone, that's why they call them, you know, there's two spellings for mourning doves. One, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, and the other, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Because some people said it sounds like they're mourning. You know what they're mourning for? They're not mourning because they found a mate. Oh, no. They're mourning because the enemy's dead if they come in their territory. In other words, they're singing a song to remind any enemy or any other male that thinks they're coming in and taking over the family. They're letting them know, you're not going to win here. This is my territory. You have kingfishers, they rattle. Owls, they hoot. Woodpeckers, they make like a sounding board. You know why that they do that? They don't do that just to waste time. They do that to say to enemies, you better not come around. If I can do this to wood, what can I do to you? I wish some of you just stop and think for a moment. Why do we live as though the devil has already won and he's beating up on us? We need to remind him the Lord has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. And he is not going to succeed and he's not going to win out. And we know well that our territory is God's territory. Ruffled grouse, we don't have many of them left here in the area. The blizzards of 1977 and 78, they took care of just about all the quail in our area and took care of a lot of the ruffled grouse. But I know a little bit about grouse. I never was good at bird hunting. I had some bird dogs, but I know a little bit about ruffled grouse. And one thing about grouse that they do to defend their territory is what's called drumming. And what they do is they suck in air on both sides of their neck. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, it's unbelievable to hear. But they suck in air and feel both sides of their neck while exhaling. And what it sounds like they're beating a big drum. Boom! God gives them that ability. And what they're saying to any enemy that would want to come around or to any other male. And their biggest problem right now is that males trying to come in and steal their family. And they're saying to that, hey, if you come around, I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you. That's what you ought to say to the enemy of your home. You ought to say it to all of the enemies of your home. Your enemy's not people. When are you going to understand that? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's not individuals. But you need to say to the devil, you're not getting my home. You're not getting my family. This territory belongs to God, and you can't have it. So they mark. With sounds, they advertise to birds around, I'm healthy, I'm strong. Do you know what you say to the devil when you lose your song? You know what you're saying? I'm weak. And I'm telling you, the devil knows. He knows when we get weak. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to put a smile on my face and act like I'm happy when I'm not happy. You're not being a hypocrite. It's called faith. The Bible says you offer him the sacrifice of the praise of your lips. I don't praise God because of how I feel. I don't praise God because of what he's done. I praise God because of who he is. And that's not hypocritical, because He is God no matter what I'm going through down here. He's still God on the throne, and I still have the right to praise Him. Why else do they sing? Because a song of a bird song lets other birds know and lets bird watchers know what species they are. You can tell by their song what kind of bird they are. Bird songs are both hereditary and learned. The instinct is in them, but they have to learn how to use it. In other words, it's a combination of both. When birds are hatched, they're not hatched with the ability to sing. It's inside of them, but they have to develop that ability to sing. So they learn how to do that. Their first cries come about. Do you know why most bird songs, the first cry comes out of their mouth? You know what it is? Begging. They're begging for food. They're begging for needs to be met. See, they don't know yet to trust their parents to take care of them. So they're begging. They think, if I cry, I'll have my needs met, just like an infant. How many times have you heard people say of a baby, if that baby cries, that baby needs something. And the first sounds that a baby has is not being able to speak. It's cries of needs that need to be met. So they start to cry, and they understand, they become aware of their own voice. When they become aware of their own voice, then suddenly they start to listen to everything around them. And if their parents are nearby, then they'll start to mimic the sounds of their parents. But if their parents are not nearby, do you know what will happen? They will start to mimic the sounds of their environment. Maybe I better back up over that. In other words, there's two types of sounds. There's the natural sound that they have that they should be singing, that should come natural to them. But if the natural sound is not present, and that is parents being by to be parents, to teach, to instruct, to sing. If that's not there, they'll listen to the other sounds. And so help me, when I read this, I could not hardly believe it. But this is exactly what it said. In different environments, birds learn to mimic other non-bird sounds. For example, mimic thrushes and the northern mockingbird will incorporate mechanical sounds such as car horns, cell phones ringing, and construction equipment into their song. In other words, instead of singing the song, they ring. Or they, oh, 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 oh. You know, just like your music. Boom, 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 boom. Help me now. Let me tell you something. Some of you need to get your children out of the environment they're in. Get them back to the environment where they can hear a song from you. And let them know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to sing the right song. The song that you have comes when you're born again. But the song that you develop comes about through your experiences. The experiences that you have helps you to better develop your song. I don't understand why people get more involved, especially born-again people. I don't understand why they get more thrilled with the sounds of the world than they do the sounds of the church. I really don't. I don't understand that. See, when you leave here, what you put on through the speakers of your car and in your home will tell me what environment you're in. It really will. You'll tell on yourself. It tells how we're raised. I'm glad that I was raised with the sounds of the church. Because at the end of life, the sounds of the church is what makes the difference. The songs of victory is what makes the difference. It's not the songs of masses cheering in a stadium somewhere, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're doing that on Sunday instead of being in church, there's something wrong with it. Turn that up, John. There's something wrong with it. Week after week, That's, you're telling your children that means, well, you say, oh, it's just a little while. No, it's not. It's a little while for you. It's a lifetime for them. They'll sing that song the rest of their life. I'm glad that when I was raised, I heard songs like Wayfarer and Stranger. And I'm just a pilgrim in this world. And songs like Victory in Jesus. And at the cross, those are the songs that's going to make the difference when I get ready to make my crossing to know that I'm saved. You say, well, preacher, everybody needs a break. Break! Church is your vacation now. You're on vacation more than you're in church. Preach! I'm trying. We all need a break. What are you teaching your children? You say, well, preacher, they may not serve the Lord. No, but you can always go back to the devil and say you're not getting them because I raised them in the right environment and I put the right song in them and I'm going to stand on the promise of your word that you said that I would teach them and they'll never leave that raising or depart from it. It's not getting away from them. They need God and they know they need God. Feeling good up here. Oh, the next one I love. And I'm telling you about it tonight. Let's stand together. Stand together. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, Mark, when I got to the next one, I had to take a praise break. Some of you don't know what a praise break is. That means I had to set my Bible down and shout a little while. Because I know the importance of a song. A song will do great things in your life. Some of you don't have a song. Some of you have lost your song. Some of you are now mimicking the song of the wrong environment. I'm just saying if the Holy Spirit speaks to you today, you ought to come and say, God, while they're singing, I'm going to come and ask you, give me my song back. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, I don't have a song. I want a song in my heart that the world will know who I belong to. The world's looking at us and they can tell what species we are by the song we sing.